What's going on, everybody? This is Patriot Underground. So before we begin the show tonight, I just want to say a few words on behalf of patriotswitch.com/patriotunderground. You see the web address right on your screen. This is an amazing company, folks. I want to urge everybody to click the link in the description and check this out. This is an amazing opportunity to reallocate your financial resources with all of your spiritual and political values, folks. These are great products that are made right here in America. Top quality. This company has a 90%+ retention rate for a good reason. They have amazing products, amazing customer service. And most importantly, you'll sleep better at night knowing that you made the switch along with 2 million other Americans and growing every single day, folks. This is a financial revolution in the making. We have the power to completely upend the traditional big box system. And I do believe that Patriot Switch is a huge step in the right direction. It is a no-brainer. We're talking about a purchase that you're going to make regardless whether you do it with the good guys or whether you do it with the bad guys is up to you. But I urge everyone, once again, please click the link in the description. It is worth your while. PatriotSwitch.com. I wouldn't steer you wrong, folks. All right, everyone. Enjoy the show. Patriot out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is March 27th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. As always, I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So tonight, I'm going to provide a situation update. And as always, there is quite a bit to discuss, so let's just jump right in tonight. And we're going to begin with some of the latest financial news that clearly indicates that a worldwide crash is not only imminent, but is happening right now. So let's start out with a little bit of news on the Evergrande. Now, China's Evergrande Group, and this is certainly a topic we have been discussing quite a bit over the past couple of years, periodically when it pops back into the news, and it has done just that. Now, after having racked up debts totaling more than $300 billion and experiencing its dollar-denominated bonds trading at massively reduced levels, because, of course, investors expected the company to eventually default, Evergrande has now gone to zero, and this has led to an attempt to restructure their debt. Now, Evergrande was one of China's biggest sellers of new homes until it entered a downward spiral in late 2021, after the Chinese government, the CCP, announced stringent borrowing restrictions on property developers. Now, that, of course, was on the surface, but beneath the surface, folks, this was actually a white hat move led by Xi Jinping to hasten the collapse of this cabal front for human and weapons trafficking operations. So essentially what happened was that Evergrande became the biggest real estate enterprise in the country through an accelerated growth strategy that relied mainly on funding from down payments from property buyers, and of course, hefty bank loans. And so this ties directly into the banking crisis, which we're seeing take shape, which I believe is in its early stages of becoming public. Now, before its liquidity crisis, Evergrande had borrowed heavily from banks and investors in mainland China, but they stopped paying most of their contractors and construction debts when the company ran short on cash just last year. And they even stopped making interest and principal repayments on wealth management products that they had sold to employees and clients and contractors to finance its operations, according to widely circulated reports. And very recently, the real estate firm sold assets to repay debt, including Evergrande's stake in a domestic bank, which was bought by state-owned enterprises for more than $1 billion U.S. dollars. Now, we have been discussing this economic time bomb ever since the Evergreen was run aground in the Suez Canal back in March of 2021. And you'll remember that there were reports of thousands of child trafficking victims that were rescued, along with many, unfortunately, who had already perished. And that's not to mention the climate weapons recovered by the alliance that the enemy was attempting to use to completely decimate the soil and contaminate it to such a degree that no food would be able to be grown. And now, in light of all the food processing plant fires and the various attempts that we've seen from the cabal to maneuver the people into famine, We can quite clearly see how this climate weapon would have accelerated their agenda, perhaps to a point where we wouldn't have recovered were it not for the White Hat Alliance. So once again, we have to thank God Almighty for the White Hats around the world who have literally saved humanity from utter destruction. And personally, folks, to be honest with you, when I was doing some prep for this show tonight, I went back and I was doing some research on the Ever Given just to refresh my memory, and it brought me once again face to face with the evil that we're at war with. And I looked at a whole bunch of different images, and I can't even believe what I saw, even at this stage, even at this point in my journey of awakening. I can't even begin to describe to you the rage that I feel. And this is in large part why I don't typically discuss this evil in depth, because quite frankly, I find it difficult to handle. Because I experience such a rage, and I so badly just want to go to war when I'm confronted with the unspeakable realities of what these monsters have done to our children. And yes, they are our children. This is innocence, folks. An attack on innocence is an attack on all of humanity. But thank God we're now seeing the collapse of this evil playing out economically, which points directly to the White Hat success in dismantling this sick, twisted, industrial-scale depravity. And of course, what this indicates is the ongoing collapse of the fiat banking system. So in my view, this is clearly a White Hat move directed by President Xi Jinping to accelerate the collapse of the cabal funding that we're seeing all over the world. And the question really becomes whether or not that will lead to the actual implementation of CBDC, or whether we're going to see the triggering of the EBS before that can become a reality. And it's still very much in debate as to whether or not the rollout of central bank digital currency will occur prior to the intervention of the White Hats. Some are saying that we're merely days, maybe weeks away at this point from the triggering of the EBS and the subsequent quantum financial system rollout. I'm sure many of you have seen the most recent Nicholas Viniamin interview with Dave XRP Lion, and of course he made that case. While others are taking a much more conservative approach in light of ongoing geopolitical conflicts that are essentially markers that must be achieved before this full-scale controlled economic demolition can happen. And later in the show tonight, I'm going to present my view on this when we get into potential chain of event scenarios. Now, switching gears a little bit here to the election fraud front. No doubt that you've heard by now that the Arizona Supreme Court has revived a vitally important element that was dismissed by a trial court pertaining to Kerry Lake's lawsuit. And of course, the mainstream media have begrudgingly reported on this, beginning their article stating that the Arizona Supreme Court, quote, declined to consider most of Republican Kerry Lake's appeal in a challenge of her defeat in the Arizona governor's race, but, and then, of course, they go on to downplay the significance of the issues pertaining to signature verification, which we all know has the potential to easily reverse the results. So in an order on Wednesday, the state's highest court said that a lower court erroneously dismissed Lake's claim challenging the application of signature verification procedures on early ballots in Maricopa County, and then sent the claim back to that trial court to reconsider. And in light of this decision, Kerry Lake reminded everyone that, quote, the signature verification process in Maricopa County is a house of cards. Thanks to this ruling, my team will get the chance to topple it, end quote. So the lower court will now examine whether Lake's signature verification claim was properly dismissed or whether she can prove her claim and show that enough votes were affected that it altered the outcome of the election, which we all know it obviously did. Now, in her challenge, Kerry Lake's lawyers focused on problems with ballot printers at some polling places in Maricopa County, which is home to more than 60% of the state's voters. So this is a really big deal, folks. And the primary issue was that the defective printers produced ballots that were too light to be read by the on-site tabulators at the polling stations. And consequently, lines backed up amid all this confusion, which was clearly the result of intentional misconduct. And as a result, a whole bunch of votes weren't counted and even more voters were disenfranchised. Now, of course, Maricopa County officials say that everyone had a chance to vote and that all the ballots were counted because those affected by the printers were taken to a more sophisticated counting section at election headquarters, which, of course, they're going to have to prove now. And not only that, Lake's attorneys also said that the chain of custody for ballots was broken at an off-site facility where a contractor scans mail-in ballots to prepare them for processing. And the assertion is that workers put their own mail-in ballots into the pile rather than returning them through normal channels. And that paperwork documenting ballot transfers was missing. And of course, the county disputes that claim. So in essence, what we have here is the signature verification challenge initial decision reversed, and the issue of whether fake mail-in ballots were added without documentation. Now, we all know what happened, folks. This was monitored in real time because of all the fake CCP ballots that lacked microscopic markings that identified them as fraudulent. The White Hat set them up as a part of this sting operation, and it's very likely that the state could flip because there are more than 17,000 ballots affected. Now, obviously, we're going to have to see whether or not there's going to be any justice here. But to be honest with you folks, I remain skeptical that we're actually going to see any election results reversed by way of the civilian courts. That's not to take the wind out of anyone's sails, but that's just rather to remind everyone what Q told us, that the military is the only way. And of course, you've heard it stated in other phrases as well, like when Juan O'Savin says there's no justice in the Justice Department. I happen to agree with that assessment. Now let's switch gears a little bit here, and let's talk about the dramatic events unfolding in Israel. As I'm sure you've heard by now, Netanyahu's firing of the Israeli defense minister, Gallant, who spoke publicly in opposition to these so-called judicial reforms, has ignited a massive protest all across the country, in multiple locations, but mainly centered around Tel Aviv. So let's read a little bit of the MSM spin, and then we'll get to the truth beneath the surface, as we always do. Now, CBS reported that opposition leader Yair Lapid, probably mispronouncing that, but you folks are used to that, said that Gallant's dismissal, quote, harms national security and ignores warnings of all defense officials, which of course is true. Lapid wrote on Twitter, quote, the Prime Minister of Israel is a threat to the security of the state of Israel. Wow. I mean, that's also true, but wow. Now, the article goes on to point out that Netanyahu's government is pushing ahead for a parliamentary vote this week on a centerpiece of this so-called judicial reform, this overhaul, which is a law that would give the governing coalition the final say over all judicial appointments. It also seeks to pass laws that would grant parliament the authority to override Supreme Court decisions with a basic majority and limit judicial review of any laws passed by the parliament. Now, Netanyahu and his allies say that the plan is going to restore balance between the judicial and executive branches and rein in what they view as an interventionist court with liberal sympathies, which of course is a load of manure. But then critics, of course, say that this constellation of laws, and by critics, the MSM is really referring to truth tellers, they say that this constellation of laws will remove the checks and balances that Netanyahu is talking about inside of Israel's democratic system and concentrate power in the hands of that governing coalition. And they also say that Netanyahu, who, by the way, is on trial or being investigated for corruption charges, has a conflict of interest, which he clearly does. And so consequently, folks, tens of thousands of people have taken to the streets over the past 3 months. And this is hitting a crescendo over the past couple of days. They've all been out there demonstrating against this plan in the largest public protest in the history of Israel. 75 years, they've never seen anything like this. Now, then it goes on to say, this article, that leaders of Israel's vibrant high-tech industry have said the changes will scare away investors. Former top security officials have spoken out against the plan, and key allies, including the United States and Germany, have voiced concerns. Yeah, of course they have. They're all deep state. Now, in recent weeks, the discontent has surged from within Israel's army, and this is really key. Because Israel's army, the IDF, is the most popular and well-respected institution by far in the entire state of Israel, of which, of course, there is a Jewish majority. And a growing number of Israeli reservists, including fighter pilots, have threatened to withdraw from voluntary duty in the past few weeks. So what's happening here, folks, is that Netanyahu, who, as I mentioned, is under investigation for corruption charges, including bribery, is seeking to push through a law or a series of laws which would give the governing coalition of the executive legislative branches, essentially the prime minister and parliament, final say over judicial appointments. And not only that, this so-called reform would grant parliament, which is comprised mainly of Zionist deep state goons, the authority to override Supreme Court decisions with a basic majority and limit judicial review of laws. This is total tyranny that they're trying to cram down the throat of the people of Israel. And so consequently, as I said, this has sparked the largest protest in the 75 years since Israel was made a state. And of course, that's a whole separate discussion that I've talked about in the past. I'm not going to dive into that tonight, but it's very significant what's happening there. You heard SG Anon and I just the other day talking about the subject of a civil war brewing in Israel. Now, I shared pictures of this protest on Telegram just yesterday. And by the way, if you're not following me on Telegram, click the link in the description. You can also follow me on Truth Social as well. You'll see the link just below that one. And so now this is bordering on an uprising after the Israeli defense minister, Gallant, was fired for voicing the clear will not only of the majority of the people of Israel, but also a majority of the IDF, which is basically setting the stage for the outbreak of a civil war. Now, my take on this is that Netanyahu and the deep state Zionists are intent on getting an increasingly populist judiciary under their control, because they've signaled an intent to rein in corruption by bringing charges against Netanyahu and his associates. And this faction of the government is backed by a major portion of the IDF, who are, I believe, a part of the White Hat Military Alliance. So this could very likely lead to the precipice of civil war in Israel, and in the process, a planned military coup to take down the Zionist mafia. And it's also very likely that Iran, which, by the way, has the fastest growing Christian population in the world, will play a major role in the ousting of the deep state from the Holy Land. Now, let's not forget, as 107 recently pointed out, Iran is the land of Esther, where the biblical reversal event, which is about to be repeated, took place. So we're going to have to keep a very close eye on Israel, which the alliance is saving for last, as Q told us. And in the final segment of the show tonight, I'll offer some thoughts on how the takedown of the Zionists may factor into the potential sequence of events as we reach the climax of the storm. Now let's switch gears once again here and talk about the latest in the Russian campaign to denazify ancestral Khazaria, aka Ukraine. Now CBS reported that Russia has ratcheted up tensions with the West amid its ongoing war with Ukraine, with President Vladimir Putin saying Moscow will deploy tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus. This story just broke today. Now, the Russian leader said that 10 fighter jets capable of carrying tactical nuclear weapons, which is generally a reference to smaller weapons used for limited battlefield attacks rather than larger, long-range strategic nuclear weapons, were already deployed in Belarus. And of course, this isn't news to any of us, but this is now just breaking into the mainstream. Putin said that Russia would also position nuclear-armed Iskander hypersonic missiles with a range of around 300 miles in Belarus as well. So this is obviously a major development, a major escalation that brings us even closer to a nuclear false flag scare event. So much so that Donald J. Trump immediately reacted to ring the alarm bells for all the normies out there. And he warned of nuclear escalation with Russia due to what he calls incompetent people in the U.S. government on Monday morning, just this morning. He wrote on Truth Social, quote, "Here we go. Just as I predicted, now we're playing with the big stuff. The N-word is now being used front and center." And then he went on to say, "This situation was caused by us. It's what happens when you have incompetent people running your government. All I can say to you right now is pray." Now, the Daily Mail published an article on this today, reporting that Moscow is set to complete the construction of a special storage facility for tactical nuclear weapons in July. Putin apparently told state broadcaster Russia One. Now, Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko, who's a staunch supporter of Putin, a staunch ally, and of course has been very outspoken about the invasion of Ukraine, has long asked for these weapons in that territory, Putin said during an interview on Russian state television. Now, the Daily Mail article goes on to say it'll be the first time since the mid-1990s that Moscow will have based such arms outside the country. Something it says the U.S. has done for decades, which is true, of course. Belarus borders NATO country Poland. Now, a spokeswoman for NATO called Putin's rhetoric, quote, "dangerous and irresponsible," but said the West did not need to change its nuclear posture. And the White House National Security spokesman John Kirby also downplayed the matter on CBS on Sunday, saying, quote, "I can tell you, we've seen nothing that would indicate Mr. Putin is preparing to use tactical nuclear weapons in any way whatsoever in Ukraine. And I can also tell you that we haven't seen anything that would cause us to change our own nuclear deterrent posture." So let's just see if we can quantify everything that I've talked about tonight and put this together into a possible scenario of events. Now, we all know that Bakhmut is on the verge of falling completely to the Russians. In the coming days, I do believe that is going to be complete, which not only accelerates the collapse of the financial system in terms of money laundering, in terms of trafficking, and all the underground evil that's centered in Bakhmut falling into the alliance hands, but it also clears the path to liberate the Donbass and to march on Kiev. And this is something that SG brought up just a couple days ago. When I asked him about the fall of Bakhmut signaling the end of the war, he actually said, no, on the contrary, this is going to signal an escalation. Now, this is clearly causing the cabal to panic, folks. They know that if Ukraine falls, their entire worldwide operations not only come to a halt because of Bakhmut's significance, remember, it's Grand Central Station underground there, but also you have to consider the evidence collected by Russia, which exposes all of their criminality. And in essence, they can't really afford for Ukraine to fall into Russian hands due to how much is at stake. This is the point of desperation that prompts them to play the nuclear false flag card, for which narrative prep has been well underway now, as we know, for quite some time. Putin has announced tactical nuclear weapons officially are in Belarus. And I believe that this is where the event will take place. The narrative will be, in my view, again, this is speculatory, but I'm just giving you my view on this, that the narrative will be that Belarus detonated a nuke against NATO forces to deter an invasion, when in reality, it'll be a deep state action to escalate into World War III. So I imagine it'll be a massive bomb detonation that the MSM will use CGI to make it appear like a nuke went off. And no doubt they'll also use fake footage to demonstrate a nuclear level of devastation, which never happened. It's certainly debatable whether a real tactical nuke will go off, but I tend to doubt that the deep state still has these weapons of mass destruction capabilities. Insider reports have indicated that white hats control these weapons. And not only that, there are many indications that the cabal has been defanged. Consider the congressional investigations into Biden, the collapse of SVB, and of course, all of the subsequent collapses that we're watching happen in real time now. The overall destruction of the deep state infrastructure suggests to me that major cabal deterrents of white hat offensive actions have been eliminated. Now, certainly, they're continuing their fifth generation attacks against all of us. Just today, there were a couple of more train derailments. And of course, there was also another mass shooting. And that, I do believe, is what they have to resort to now to strike back against us. Now, I certainly hope that I'm not wrong about that, but given everything that we're seeing right now and the white hats clearly going on the offensive, that to me indicates that the cabal's real big guns have fallen into alliance hands. And not only that, we've also seen clear indications of MSM infiltration, which points to the weakening of deep state deterrence. The mainstream media is beginning to realize that the very same deterrence which held the white hats at bay for such a long time to prevent their takedown have fallen into alliance hands, which is why Trump has been signaling public execution for treason. All of these are indicators that the deep state arsenal has been near depleted. I'm not going to say depleted, but near depleted. So their only play left is to garner public support for a war against Russia and China. Enter the nuclear false flag event. So if they pull the trigger on the false flag and the mainstream media amplifies the false narrative to draw the United States into war under false pretenses, as they've always done, they're aiding and abetting treason once again. And this, I believe, will be the final straw for the White Hats. And it's going to result in the blackout / EBS event. Although they may allow the mainstream media to report falsehoods until the necessary fallout of the false flag has been fully played out. So the question then becomes, how do Russia and Belarus respond? And I do believe this is what leads to the Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0 standoff that I've been talking about now for quite some time, that accompanies a full-scale controlled demolition, economic meltdown, and leads to the EBS. Now, obviously, nobody knows the timing and sequencing of events, certainly nobody who's talking about it publicly. But I imagine that in the wake of a nuclear false flag event, we're going to see other aspects of the narrative preparation enter the scene. And this is a possible convergence scenario. The Russian Belgorod sub with the Poseidon nuke reported off the coast comes back into the picture. Perhaps North Korea launches several ICBM nuke tests and they aim their weapons at the West Coast and Japan and South Korea. And then at the same time, you could also have China sending weapons to Russia, which the Biden administration has said would be a red line of sorts that would draw the United States directly into war. At that point, I think it's very likely you could also see China invading Taiwan to draw us, the United States, into direct confrontation with both Russia and China, optically. And at the same time, the planned military coups in the NATO countries that you've heard me talk about will also be triggered. This war is an event marker-driven conflict. It's not a linear timeline, but rather when certain markers are hit, next phases of the operation then are slated to begin. And then, of course, we also have what I was just talking about a little while ago, the situation in Israel, which I happen to very strongly believe is going to result in some sort of military coup, potentially the precipice of a civil war. We might see even a civil war erupt, although I doubt it. I do believe that they're going to get very, very close. I also happen to believe that Iran is going to aid opposition forces within the IDF, potentially a multi-pronged attack on the Zionist regime could take place. I also think it's very likely we could see a simulated strike attempt on the continental United States. I do believe it's possible we could hear air raid sirens before this is all over. And this would happen, in my mind, almost exactly at the same time as the stock market crash. The entire economic system, as we're on the verge of World War III, just completely bottoming out. At which point, it's very likely the White Hats could use that moment to trigger the EBS. And when that happens, we all know what follows. Mass arrests, disclosure videos, 10 days of darkness, and then ultimately, during that 10 days of darkness, I believe the White Hats are going to go full throttle worldwide when everybody's at home under temporary martial law, and I think they're going to perform just about every mop-up operation that needs to take place before we get through to the other side of the eye of the storm. And that includes an invasion of Taiwan to take out the bioweapon labs, and also, of course, to clear out any remaining dumbs worldwide to liberate and save as many children as they can, to mop up the Khazarian mafia, what's left of it in Ukraine, and, of course, the Zionist takedown. And then, of course, military tribunals will commence, after which the quantum financial system, Tesla tech, med beds, and that golden age that all of us have been praying for literally years, will finally be upon us. So folks, we have an awful lot of things to be excited about right now. The world is teetering on the edge of complete destruction, and we knew that this was going to happen. We knew this was going to be what it looked like towards the end. And I have to say that I don't think we're quite there yet. I think there's still going to be some more ratcheting up of tensions. There's going to be some more major events that occur before we finally hit this eye of the storm. But I genuinely believe, folks, that we are in the final phases of this operation. And I do think that 2023 is very likely going to be the year when we see the military finally step forward. Now, there's been a lot of talk about 2024 and the next election cycle, but I have to be honest with you, folks. I really don't see us getting to the next election cycle, given all that's happening in the world right now. The financial system is completely melting down. We're literally on the verge of World War III, nuclear war, optically on the surface. It's not going to happen, as I've said many, many times. We're not going to actually have a nuclear war. A nuclear false flag scare event, yes. But we're not going to have thermonuclear war. But when you look at everything that's happening around the world right now, you have to ask yourself, with the election being, what, like 19, 20 months from now, could we possibly make it there without the wheels falling off? And my gut feeling on that is no. So hopefully, folks, you enjoyed this podcast. Please let me know in the comments if you did. Take a moment to hit that like button. Also, as I mentioned earlier in the show tonight, make sure you check out the links in the description. Make sure you're following me on all the different platforms I'm on. I'm on BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean. and also Truth Social and Telegram. And speaking of links, folks, please check out patriotunderground.shop. Click on that link in the description. It'll take you right to my merch store. I have a whole bunch of really cool items on there. It's a great way to support my work. I have t-shirts, hoodies, hats, beer mugs, water bottles, stickers, a wide variety of products, all very high quality. Please take a moment and consider making a purchase. Pick up an item or two. God bless to each and every one of you who have. Also, folks, you'll see in the description a link to my Patreon. And that is where I released all of my new content first as a way to say thank you to my patrons who have made a monthly pledge to support my goal to become a full-time podcaster sometime in the future, God willing. So I just want to say God bless to each and every one of my patrons. Thank you so much. And for those of you out there who are looking for a way to support my work, this is an absolutely great way to do it. You can pledge as much or as little as you want, but it makes a huge difference in terms of me being able to move in that direction. And finally, folks, before I leave you tonight, I just wanted to mention patriotswitch.com/patriotunderground. You'll see the link right in the description of the video. This is the best company out there, period, for all of your household and personal items. These items are non-toxic. They're manufactured in the United States. They support American families. But most importantly, these products are produced by a company that ideologically stands with us on this battleground, against the cabal. They are directly competing with the big box conglomerates that take all of our money that we fork over to them because we have to buy these products just to keep our lives going. And they funnel it directly into BlackRock and Vanguard to finance our own destruction. And as far as I'm concerned, folks, if you have a choice, and Patriot Switch gives you that choice, as a patriot, it's your duty to make that switch and to realign your financial resources with your spiritual, ethical, and political values. PatriotSwitch.com, folks. Click the link today and start your journey. Join the more than 2 million Americans who have already done so, and you will not be disappointed. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening. I'm going to be back on Wednesday with Jim Willie. And then on Thursday, I'm going to be back with Utsava for a follow-up interview. I'm very excited about those two. And then next Saturday, we have our, I believe it's our 12th Patriot Roundtable. We're getting the band back together. I'm very excited to reconnect with this group of amazing patriots who have become like family to me. We share all of our different viewpoints, and it really is a great show. So hopefully you folks will tune in for that on Saturday. All right, everyone. Until the next time, God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.